And our reading for today continues in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Morning, everybody. Did you spy any scarecrows when you came to church this morning? It was the first time I'd been onto the high street. I didn't make it down yesterday, and I cycled down the avenue. And I came to the end of the avenue, and I saw someone sat across the across on the outside Belmont Field. So I thought, I'll wave, you know, because I'm friendly. So I waved, and then I realised it's a scarecrow. But to be fair, it was very early and the sun was shining in my eyes. So I'm not going mad. It's just I thought it was a real person. I thought I'd better be friendly. And I thought, oh, it's a scarecrow. I'm waving at scarecrows. What's going on? And then I get here and I discover that I'm tied up outside, which was a bit of a shock. Actually, I had been given hints that that might happen, so it wasn't too much of a shock. But maybe a shock for everybody else. Quite scary. So here we are with carrying on with the I am sayings of Jesus. And essentially what's happening with the I am sayings is that Jesus is telling us who he is. Jesus is saying, this is who I am. And that's really useful for us because we're followers of Jesus. So it's really useful information to not just know who Jesus is, but to hear it from his own lips, for Jesus to be saying to us as his followers, this is who I am. This is my identity. This is what I'm about. And that really helps us because, of course, we're following Jesus. We're imitating him. We're wanting to become more like him. So these passages are very valuable for us. We need to really listen carefully to what Jesus is saying. We can know him better because we can understand more of who Jesus is saying. This is who I am. So this morning we're looking at the Good Shepherd. And of course it's related to last week as well, where we were talking about the shepherd. But I want to develop that a little bit further. I'm going to start with this image. That's a nice friendly image, isn't it, for a Sunday morning? I heard somebody on a radio program talking about how they had a job in an off-license, and it was very low-paid. It was a very low-paid job. They were on minimum wage, and they didn't really like the job. And somebody came in with a gun and said, "Give us all your money. We want the money from the cash register, and we want all the cigarettes from behind you." And this guy said that I basically helped the robber get them. I said, "Yeah, I'll get you a bag as well, because I just don't care. Because I certainly don't want to be shot. I hate this job. It doesn't pay me enough. I hate the manager. So, yeah, go for it. Here you go. Here's a bag. Put all the money in. Off you go. What cigarettes do you want? Yeah. Do you want to take anything else?" And off the robber went, very happy. And the reason that man said he had that attitude is because, well, he was low paid, so he didn't really care about the things he was looking after. In this morning's passage, Jesus sets up a contrast. He says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So there's a contrast. There's the good shepherd who owns the sheep and loves the sheep, and it's his livelihood and everything's in that. And then there's the hired hand, and he doesn't really care. He's not paid very much. They're not his sheep. So if there's a threat that's coming, he's just going to look after himself. He doesn't care about the sheep. He'll just run away. So that's the contrast that is set up. And of course, the picture here is that Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I'm not a hired hand.
I'm not just here temporarily. I don't just care a little bit. I'm not just doing a job. I love my sheep. He's saying, I love you. People, I love you. And I will give everything for you because you are mine and I love you. So that's the contrast that's set up. And I suppose the example of a hired hand in contrast to Jesus would be something like a cult leader. You know, somebody who's in it for themselves. Their ego is wanting to get people to follow them. And they're interested in that, and they want people to do what they say. And so they start this little cult, and they promise lots of things. But then actually when danger comes, because actually they're not Jesus, and they actually don't have any kind of higher authority, they'll just run off. If things go sour, they'll go off and maybe start another cult somewhere else or do something else dangerous somewhere else. But Jesus is saying, this is everything. I'll give everything for this. And of course, we see later that he does. We have echoes of this passage in Ezekiel, one of the Old Testament prophets. Chapter 34 of Ezekiel is called The Shepherd and the Sheep. And Ezekiel says this, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds." So he's saying that the shepherds aren't being good shepherds. They're not doing what they should do. He continues, "You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured, or brought back the strays." He's talking about shepherds, but he's really talking about the leaders in that community. He's saying, you're not looking after your people. And then it continues, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." God is seeing that his people aren't being looked after properly. So God is saying, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to step in and be the good shepherd. I will shepherd the flock with justice, he goes on to say. "I will save my flock." Later on it says, "They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them." So God is saying, I'm going to come to my people because you're not looking after them properly, because you're not being good shepherds of the flock, you're not being good leaders of the people, I'm going to come to my people and I'm going to bring them justice and I'm going to break off those burdens that are around them and I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to be the good shepherd. And of course we see this reflected in what Jesus is saying, and again he uses this analogy of shepherd and sheep. So we have the Father, the Son, and the people. And in this analogy, there's a bond of love between those three things. And we find that the Father is God, of course. That's simple, isn't it? And the Son is the shepherd. Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God. I am the good shepherd. And he loves his people. And there's that connection. And that's echoed in that Ezekiel passage, that God longs to look after people. He's trying to set up leaders to look after them. But he knows that ultimately he's going to have to step in and be that good shepherd. So there's a bond of peace and love between them. Jesus carries on at verse 16 to say, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So there are other sheep. I don't know whether anybody went to the Great Yorkshire Show, but I'm sure that there were, I didn't myself, but I'm sure there were lots of different sheep on display there, and I'm no expert in sheep, but there's a little diagram there showing some of the different types, and I'm sure there's lots more than that. But Jesus says that there is one flock and one shepherd, but there are other sheep, he says. Other sheep, and Jesus is talking about non-Jews, those who aren't Jewish. Jesus is saying that there's no boundaries to God's blessing. And he's speaking that into a culture which is very sectarian, where there's a lot of hatred and a lot of suspicion, and people are grouped into, you know, I belong here and therefore I hate them. And they don't belong and they do belong, and there's a whole hierarchy and there's a whole sectarian society. And Jesus speaks into that society and says, there are other sheep that are not of this fold. And for the Jews that are hearing that, they wouldn't have liked to hear that, because they're so bounded by their kind of closed doors and closed boundaries. That's how they survive, and that's how they get their sense of identity. And Jesus is breaking that open. And of course, that's always been God's plan from the beginning. When he spoke to Abraham, right at the beginning, before the Jews became, you know, that family that became that tribe, that became that nation, right at the beginning, God's plan is to bless Abraham so that he can be a blessing to many. But of course, the Jews keep closing in the barriers the whole time. So Jesus comes and he flings those barriers open. He says, no, this is for everybody. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is for everybody to come through me to know God. One flock and one shepherd. Now, I was thinking about this in terms of other denominations, because, of course, we're one flock with other denominations, aren't we? We all have that one shepherd, Jesus. We're all followers of Jesus. And yet, even in our small community, we have the Methodist Church across the road, and then we have Life Destiny Church that meets behind them, and we have Starbeck Mission around the corner here, and we have St. Elred's over the railway line. And then we've got a new church that started meeting in our hall on Sunday afternoons called Apostolic Life Ministries. I struggle to say the name, but they meet on a Sunday afternoon. And we are one flock with one shepherd. We meet in different buildings. We might have slightly different expressions of how we live out our faith. You know, St. Elrod's to us, to LDC, to the Methodist Church, to Apostolic Life Ministries. All these different expressions. But we've got one shepherd. We are all following Jesus. All these churches, at the centre of our faith, is Jesus. And the packaging might be different, but the product, you know, the thing that is at its heart is the same. It's Jesus, that one shepherd. Many sheep, but one shepherd. And Jesus says, I lay down my life. I lay down my life. Jesus had death threats. That was a real thing that was going on for Jesus. When you flick back through John's Gospel, you see it there, and you see it in all the Gospels, but particularly in John's Gospel, you see that as soon as Jesus starts to declare that he is the Son of God, he's not just saying, I am a child of God, just as you are a child of God. He's saying, no, I am the Son of God. And he puts himself at one with God, and as soon as he does that, the death threat starts. It says that they look for ways to kill him. So when Jesus is talking about laying down his life, he's not meaning it just in some kind of, you know, nice metaphor. He's meaning it literally, because he knows that the death threats are coming, and he knows what's coming is his death. He says, yes, I'm coming, but yes, I'm in control. Verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus is about to lay down his life, but yet he's going to take it up again. So if we go back to the shepherd analogy, when the wolf comes to try and attack the sheep, Jesus isn't the hired hand that's going to run away. He's going to face that wolf, and he's going to go for it, and he's going to wrestle with that wolf. And even if it means that he loses his own life, he's willing to do that to protect his sheep. He's going to put himself forward. He's going to go through that in order that the sheep can live. So the sad news is that the shepherd is going to die. But of course, the good news is that the shepherd is coming back. That the death doesn't mean the end of the shepherd. And even better than that, Jesus said, there are other sheep. I'm doing this as part of a bigger picture. I'm not just saving the sheep that I already have, this little pen of sheep here. I'm doing it for all the sheep that are out there. The shepherd is going to die, but the shepherd is coming back, and there are other sheep. And Jesus makes it really clear that this is a choice. No one takes it from me, he says. I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to take it up again. This is a choice and a decision that Jesus is making. And I was thinking about this in terms of how we make a choice too, and this is echoed throughout Scripture. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then later on in this Gospel, John 15, verse 13, Jesus says, John 13, verse 37. Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you, says Peter. And then Jesus replies, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. Peter wants to be that fervent and says, I'll lay down my life for you. But actually, when it comes to the crunch, he won't. But Jesus is willing to do that, and Jesus does go through with that. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So we're seeing that it's developing not just from something that Jesus does, but something that we are called to do. Jesus decided to lay down his life for us, and he's calling us to lay down our lives for each other. And then Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds his life, Jesus says, will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There's something about us dying, and in dying, we find life. And we know that ultimately we will rise again, don't we? We will die and we will rise again. If we are not dead yet, then there's still stuff for Jesus that Jesus wants us to do. I came across this quote this week. Jesus doesn't help you realize your spiritual potential. He makes you realize that you're dead. And as dead, you're in the perfect and only state in which he can make you truly alive again. That's tough words, isn't it? Jesus doesn't help you realize your spiritual potential. He makes you realize that you're dead. And as dead, you're in the perfect and only state in which he can make you truly alive again. The question for us, of course, is, are we willing to die? Are we willing to lay down our lives for God? If we lay down our lives, then we discover that we are truly alive. One more quote that I want to share for you, which is from Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, writes Paul, and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is beginning to understand that because Jesus gave his life for him, he is able to lay down his life. He's able to give his life. I have been crucified with Christ, he says. I no longer live. And he's saying this as a living man. He's saying, I no longer live. I don't have that life anymore. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. These are really challenging words, that the Good Shepherd would lay down his life for us and then call us to live, lay down our lives for him. The conclusion is this. It's simple, that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. But good doesn't mean good how we might understand it in the word English. You know, some, oh, they're a good child, or they've done good. Good here means beautiful. Like we were singing in that song, what a beautiful name it is. But not beautiful as in the outward appearance, but beautiful deep down. In the deepest part of the character and the heart, Jesus is beautiful, the beautiful shepherd. And beautiful means attractive. He's compelling. He's drawing us near. When we grasp his love for us, we're able to see just how loving and good he is. And that draws us to him, but also that helps us to share him with others. Not that we feel we have to, but that we're able to because we understand his love for us. And we can help others to do that too. It's about loving and growing. It's about dying and living. And there's a song that talks about this that I'd like to sing now. I asked Caroline whether she knew it, and she said she doesn't really. So I said, well, I'll try and lead it on the guitar. And it has these words. It says, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Actually, when we come to Jesus and give him everything, give him our whole life and die to ourselves, we find true life. So I'd like to sing that song now, please, with a bit of help. Thank you.